I did want to say to Omar and Martha that I just felt like something I was going to say, and I didn't at the time, what I saw when they, I forgot who was praying over you at the time. I think it may have been Irene. I kept going, who is that? Irene. I see you guys as a tip of a spear. I guess I've got arrowheads on my mind. I saw you as a tip of a spear. There's an anointing to pierce and penetrate. And it's an anointing of harvest. Don't think when I say tip of a spear, I'm not talking about violence and death. I'm talking about breaking something open in a powerful way. So, and it's an anointing of leadership to do that. Okay. So, anyway, I'm really excited about that. Okay, go with me today. I want to share with you. Sorry, honey. Kids, you're released. Princess and princes. Princesses and princes. Bless them, Lord. Y'all would have been so proud of our kids on the trip. Man, I tell you, they were awesome. And it was such a good day. And Randy behaved himself. It was a great trip. He stood out one day and cooked. How many hamburgers, brother? What did you cook? 64 hamburgers. And I know it was hotter here, but White River was a lot hotter than usual. It was in mid to upper 90s during the day. And I know you people in Phoenix are going, that's a nice cool day, grab a sweater. But it was hot. When you're in the sun, it was hot. But our nights were pleasant. Our nights were cool and pleasant, except for the home where all the guys were staying. That was quite warm. But anyway, you could brown rolls in their home. But anyway, God is good. It was really good, and it was a great trip. Got one more for this summer coming up. But what I want to challenge you with, I want to talk to you about a place called There. Everybody say There. Actually, when I say that now, I'm talking about where you are now. Everybody say here. So when I say there, I'm talking about here. But when God speaks, he's speaking to you're there, which is where you are. Does it make sense? Okay. I think it'll make even more sense in just a few minutes. Jesus said this, you did not choose me. How many of you for the longest time you thought you chose the Lord, right? I chose to believe. And you did in a sense, and you received him, but he's already chosen you. It's that mystery of being elected by God. Isn't that cool? Aren't you glad you're chosen? But notice what he said, and I appointed you that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. God wants us to be fruitful. And can I tell you something? You may be, let's go to the most extreme example. You may be called to be an apostolic missionary to a nation somewhere, a foreign nation. But the bottom line is when he chose you where you are. In that place called there. And if we can't be fruitful at a place called there, we're not going to be fruitful at a place called over there. Right? And so that's really the key in our lives is to understand that the appointment of God for you. Quit kicking the can down the road. Because the anointing and the blessing of God on your life begins now. Amen? If you are a child of God, now I'm not going to go through everything we shared last week, so everybody relax. But if you are a child of God, you are a descendant of Abraham. If you're a descendant of Abraham, you're blessed with Abraham's blessing. Say, I'm blessed. You've been blessed with the blessing of God. And can I tell you, it's not so you can just be blessed, but that you could what? Be a blessing. So in other words, you're carrying something that somebody else needs. You're carrying an impartation, you're carrying love, you're carrying power, you're carrying resource, amen? You're carrying a breakthrough, you're carrying a healing, because you're blessed. And the Lord is the one who chose, even in the new covenant, to acknowledge going all the way back to Father Abraham and honoring that man of faith was righteous because of his faith in God, not his performance, but it did result in a performance of faith to walk with God, amen? Anybody want to be faithful? Man, I want to be faithful to the Lord. I like to put it this way. God wants you to bloom wherever you're planted. Amen? We need to know how to be bloomed. Not blooming idiots, but we need to be able to bloom. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at Abraham's first descendant. Does everybody know? Why am I getting tangled up? This is Randy. It's that tangle up demon that was chasing us around. With every cord we pulled out, we had to have a deliverance session. But anyway, hallelujah. What was his name? The first descendant, the first miracle, Isaac. Everybody say Isaac. He who laughs. And I tell you what, when a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man have a baby, that's something to laugh about. Hallelujah. But it wasn't a laughter as in a mocking laugh, even though Sarah initially mocked. Like, ha. And the Lord said, well, we'll just name him Isaac. Amen? He who laughs. That's what that means. We have an Isaac in our house. I think they're out of town today. Are the butlers here? Okay, that's fine. Yeah. But you know, their miracle child, after adopting three children, after adopting three children, they received Isaac. Amen? And he who laughs. Hallelujah. Now, so let's look real quick at Isaac for a minute. How did this transfer to him? You'll find it very interesting. Go to Genesis 28, in verse number 1. Now there was a famine. Everybody say famine. In the land. And besides the previous famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land. Everybody say, stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land. Say, in this land. And I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father, Abraham. See that? Now that's your father too. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and will give you descendants all of these lands. This is what was getting prophesied this morning up here. And by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed. Get this. Because your father obeyed me. Do you see that? And kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. I shared with you last week some 21 principles and commands and laws of the kingdom that we need to activate in our lives and be obedient. Now to sojourn means you are going through a place that's temporary. How many know our life with God is fluid? Is it not? Even the children of Israel were never supposed to root down in the desert. Were they? But they did have to sojourn through the desert, right? They sojourned in a temporary place to get over and cross over to the promised place. How many are glad you have a promised place? And I'm not just speaking of where you're going when you die. I believe you have a sweet spot that God has for you now. Amen? And it may change from time to time. You're in a place for a season, and God shows you another place. But the thing about it is learning how to be fruitful there. That's what causes us to be able to go to the next place. Everybody still there? Now look at verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same. How many know sowing in famine is, in the natural, not wise? It's a waste of seed, is it not? So he sowed in the land and reaped in that same year a hundredfold. Everybody say kingdom. That's the kingdom. And the Lord blessed him, and he became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. So it's the power of blessing will cause you and I to be able to sow and reap no matter what the economic standing is. And I'm not just talking finances. Tell me, anything in your life, when you sow, no matter what it's like, a famine to us in our culture, we're not a farming culture for the most part, obviously. And for us, it'd just be like an economic downturn. A famine would be like a recession or even a depression. And let me tell you, in that land, when probably 90% of the people relied upon vineyards and farming and all of that, a famine was not a good thing. Amen? The whole economy came to a screeching halt. And on top of that, the supply of where you could even survive to live was cut off. So famine was horrible. Amen? And so we can see now, a lot of times we have a lot of, in our governments today and in our setups, we have a lot of things we can lean on, right, in a hard time. But the blessing of God overrides that. And I want you to see it. And it's not again so Isaac could be rich, because he could be blessed to be a blessing. Remember Joseph? Joseph said, God brought me into this place and placed me here so that many people would be saved during the 7 years of famine. Amen? Everybody still there? Okay, all right. Now, sometimes on our way to our ultimate destiny, the journey can seem like we're in exile, right? We kind of feel like we're in exile. We feel like we're sojourning. We're not feeling like it. We are. And what God wants to demonstrate is his blessing in every place. Let's talk about Joseph again. He had a powerful dream, right? But at the end of his dream, a lot of times God shows you things. He's showing you the end of the road. But your destiny is part of the journey. Amen? And he's showing you what's going to happen when his brothers will bow down before him. And maybe he didn't totally understand at the time. But how many of you know his life was a roller coaster of ups and downs? We're seemingly blessed and this and that. But he went from being sold into slavery to cast into the pit. And then when things were looking good, he got accused and went back into prison. And I mean, this was like, Lord, I mean, there'd be a lot of chances to think, I am nothing but in exile here. And yet he was in the very place God was going to use him and bring him to his destiny. And when he came to that place, and if you remember, when his brothers bowed before him, if you remember, he said, you meant it for harm and evil against me, But God meant it for good. Amen. To save these many people. Amen. See, again, purpose. Not just that you're blessed and you got to see your brothers bow down. Thank God he was a merciful man. He didn't cut their heads off because he had the authority to do it. And they thought he was going to do it. They literally thought it was over. We're going to die. This is Joseph. You remember him? And so can you imagine how they felt? And yet the mercy of God was extended. Everybody say, in every place. I like to put it, have you ever heard this? You can't keep a good man down. You ever heard that? Well, you can't keep a blessed man down. Or a blessed woman down. How about a blessed prince or a blessed princess? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And he told his brothers that. I think what he told his brothers, I believe in the end, is obviously something that Joseph had. Again, being in that seed line of men and women of faith and the blessed of God. And I believe it was in the new covenant, it would be Romans 8:28. For our God causes all things to work together, whether we understand it or not, right? He works it together for good because we are loved by God and we love our God and we live our lives, what? According to his purposes. So that's the thing. Again, if you only want to be blessed for yourself, then you're not applying the blessing to purpose. And when a blessing is applied to purpose, that changes everything. Now God says, now I've got a conduit. They don't want to just get blessed and feel good and have get a raise or something. These guys want to flow with my supply through them. And that's what God's looking for. Amen? And that's in anointing. It's in finance. It's in resource. Amen? God wants to use you in that mighty way. Hallelujah. You receive that? I hope for some of us we'll just be challenged. I need to be challenged by it. People that are blessed always find a way to bloom. They always find a way to increase. They always find a way to multiply. Amen? In that place. And it's so important for us to see this and the power of it. We were at Florentino's in Chandler. Bill turned me on that little Italian restaurant over in Chandler years ago. And I remember, it was just a few months ago, and I can't remember who I was with. There was a group of us, and I'm walking way out in the parking lot, walking across, and right out of the asphalt of the parking lot was a weed. There wasn't even a crack. I kept looking for a crack, because you know, a lot of times you see grass come up between cracks. How many of you ever seen something grow seemingly right out of concrete or asphalt? You ever seen that? And you're like going. I remember I just stood at that weed, and I said, that's a determined little weed. I said, don't kill it. He went through a lot of trouble. But you know, it's kind of like the blessing. The enemy wants to pour asphalt over your head. And God said, oh no, he'll still bloom. Amen. I mean, how do you want to live that way? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God is so good. God is so good. How many of you love Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not calamity. To give you a future. To give you a hope. To give you a purpose. To give you a destiny. Hallelujah. Do you love that verse? Here's the thing. We love to quote it, but we're doing a great disservice in the body of Christ when we quote it out of context. Yes, Holy Spirit told me, back up. So I backed up. He went, no, in the scripture, back up. And so I did. I hit this really fast last week. And I want to share this with you today. I want to leave this with you before we head out of here this morning. I want you to go to Jeremiah 29, and let's go back a little bit from that. And let's look at the context of why that was said. Are you ready? We'll go back to verse 4. Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem. I mean, that was their promised place. To where? To Babylon. Now look what the Lord says. Everybody ready? Get this now. Build houses and live in them. And plant gardens and eat their produce. Everybody look at me. In other words, do life. Get on with your life. Amen. Come on. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to your husbands that they may bear sons and daughters. And everybody read it out loud with me. And multiply there. You get that? And do not decrease. Are you with me? Multiply there. And do not decrease. Notice he didn't say, I have sent you into exile so that you can murmur and complain against me for 40 years. And when you get to heaven, I can't wait to see you. No. That wasn't even what the exile was about. How many know that word, sojourning, exile? We kind of like, huh? And then God said, I sent you there. I sent you there. And in fact, I want you to be the weed coming up through the concrete. I want people to look at you and go, how in the world is he prospering? How in the world is he blessed? Amen. How in the world is he multiplying? Amen. When we first started out, we were in Tempe. And we were over at the Arizona Historical Society Museum. And we were there about a year and a half, I think. All this is running together now. And I had more than one pastor tell me, yeah, watch out trying to plant in Tempe. I go, really? He goes, yeah, church plants there get chewed up and spit out by the devil. And I was like, first of all, I don't receive that. You know, feel like, where's my cross? The vampires come. You know, whoa. I mean, you got to be careful what you say. And that was declared over me. And I remember I told Susan, I said, well, that's intimidating. And I remember Susan goes, well, that tells me that's where we're supposed to plant. You know? Well, let's do it. And no kidding, it's a good times. And of course, we were in our rented facility for six years or more over there had some great times over there. Anyway, my point is, the enemy wants you to think that in your exile, you got to put everything on hold, right? And just back off and just wait until there's other. But the problem is, if you can't learn, it's what we learn, and it's what we learn in the storm, right? It's what we learned as God's doing in the storm that brings us into a greater victory. And think even all the more when you're in your sweet spot, right? When you get into that sweet spot, things just accelerate all the more. And that's why I'm excited. I'll be honest with you. I would rather just be in heaven unless I know things have got to be better than this. And I love you guys. I'm just saying, it's got to be better than this, what God wants to do. Amen? And I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe that's the victories along the way. To exile means to be banished from your place. Like when Israel was not in their land, they were considered to be in exile, right? And yet God took them there to teach them something and to do something in them that was going to cause them to be more fruitful in their land when they got there. Amen? So we're to multiply in a place called there. There. God said, I want you to increase and not to decrease. But the key to multiplying and increasing while we're in exile in that place called there is verse 7. The next verse, look what it says. Very important. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, everybody say it, you will have welfare. Some translation, I think the old King James says peace. Your peace and welfare and prosperity and success are dependent upon you praying for the peace and welfare of that surrounds you. Amen? I mean, that's a hard thing to learn when you don't like your job, you don't like your town, you don't like your neighborhood, you don't like your house. Some of us don't like our family. And that's a hard place to ever prosper. Amen? Some of y'all kind of sheepishly begin to laugh there, but you know. Scripture is clear. We're to always bless and never curse. Never curse, it says in Romans. Always, even our enemy. Let it be heaping coals of fire on their head. The blessings that you give, not speaking and getting in their face, but the blessing that you release. Amen? Never curse. We're to pray, I believe, for the welfare of our city, for the welfare of our community. Amen? When I drive on to the Navajo or Apache Nation, I like to say nation and not res. When I drive on, I start blessing them. I see a rundown house, you know, leaning over, I bless it. I'm starting to do that now. I don't talk about, wow, isn't this horrible? Look, all these people over here. Not that everybody is in a horrible situation. I'm just trying to say, and learn. What if we did that even here too, in the city, metro area of Phoenix, right? Begin to declare the blessing. How about if we do that for our church? A lot of people sit around and complain about their churches instead of blessing them. Amen. We need to be a blessing. Say, I'm a blessing. How about where you work? I don't like my job. I didn't ask you if you liked your job. I feel like I'm in exile at my job. Well, that doesn't change the fact that you're blessed to be a blessing there. Amen? In fact, you might get that good job that you really like when you start to do the one you're in with the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Yeah, everybody smile at me, because we've all had some rotten jobs over the years. Okay, we've all been there. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a place I wish I could go back and be a blessing, because I didn't understand the principle. Amen? Or you go to school. Amen? Whatever it is you do. Okay, let me move on. Here's the thing. We cannot increase and multiply there if we're cursing there? Right? If I'm cursing it, how can I possibly increase and multiply in something I cursed? Right? Come on now. And can I tell you, you may not be exactly cursing, because I'm looking at a bunch of believers in the room. Probably likely you're not. But your indifference toward there will still withhold the blessing, because the blessing has to be released. It's spoken, it's imparted through your love, through the anointing upon your life. Amen? Even in just being indifferent, not really caring, it's kind of a backhanded insult to the very place that God wants you to be a blessing. Amen? Y'all receive this? Please receive this, because I'll tell you, I believe this is something God wants. There's a great power when those who are the blessed actually begin to bless. Amen? And let me say it again. There's a great power released when those who are the blessed actually begin to bless. Great power is released. And I'm convinced that the blessing and favor of the Lord should cause all of us to be blessed anywhere and everywhere. Amen? Understanding this, this is what leads us to Jeremiah 29:11. To the plan, to the place that the Lord has ordained for me and for you. Amen? Let's keep reading. Verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams which they dream. Now get this. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Now he's not saying we don't have prophecy. He's saying be careful what you call a word to you. Amen? For thus says the Lord, when 7 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Here's what I think happens. Not all prophecy is necessarily somebody came up to you and said, thus saith the Lord. It could be something that was taught, imparted to you, encouraged you. Can I tell you, false prophecy many, many times is the prophecies that tickle our ears. Because we so want to get out of there that anybody's going to come and tell me how to get out of there. Oh, that's a word from the Lord. It might not be. Especially if you've not been fruitful there. Amen? Are we all friends still? Because that's how many of you, don't raise your hand because I don't want anybody looking around because we've all prophesied over each other. But how many of you have, well, how am I going to know? Just look at me and nod. How many of you have gotten words you realize later that wasn't God? It wasn't God. And it was tickling your ears. It's what you wanted to hear. Amen? And I'm telling you, God wants us to hear what he wants to say to us. Amen? He's got a timing. But I'm convinced of something. I believe if we don't understand this principle, that's maybe the reason why a lot of times we have what we call delay. Because it's easier to say, delay is not denial, brother. Slap him on the back. Right? But then, okay, well then how do I get out of delay? If it's not a denial of what God wants to do, how do I move past delay? And I think a lot of times it is we don't understand fully why he's got us where we are. Amen? And so this is important for us to move forward. He's got his timing and our fruitfulness. Now we go to verse 11. Are you ready? For I know the plans that I have for you. Amen? Declares the Lord. How many know his plans are his plans? They're not yours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? But he wants us to know what his thoughts are. Amen? They're plans for welfare and not for calamity. Say it. To give you, say it, a future and a hope. Say it again. A future and a hope. I don't care if you be young or old. A future and a hope. Amen. Then. Everybody say then. That's a big word. It's a big word. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. Notice what we're seeking and searching for. Him. Him. Not a word. Not really necessarily a word. Are y'all getting this? When you seek me and search for me and find me. And I love this with all your heart. And what does it say out loud? I will be found by you. Say it again. I will be found by you. He's good, isn't he? You seek him and you shall find him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes. Everybody say restoration. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you. Declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you in the exile. God's going to get you to the place he ordained for you. Hallelujah. Come on. And he's going to get you to the place he's got for you in this season and in the season to come. But be fruitful in this season and in this place. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Y'all receive that? If you and I are blessed there, we will multiply and increase there. And we'll pray for the welfare of our there. Amen? And then we'll be fruitful there and we'll move toward our destiny. I'm convinced there's not an area of our life that we can't be fruitful. I really don't believe, because I believe when the blessing is on you, there's not an area of your life you cannot be fruitful. Hello? Even in the part where you're sojourning. Even in the part where you feel like, man, I just feel like I'm in exile in this job, or you know, whatever it may be. Fill in the blank. We could all do that. But God is saying, I'm bringing you to a place that I've ordained for you. Now, with that in mind, I want to close with a passage in 2 Corinthians 2. You know the passage, but I want you to see it this morning. In 2 Corinthians 2, and I'm going to begin with verse number 14. Everybody got it? Here we go. But thanks be to God. Everybody say, thanks be to God. Who, what's the next word?
Always.
Everybody say that with me. Always. Leads us in triumph in Christ. You know what the Holy Spirit spoke to me years ago? And I know I quote that a lot to you guys. But the Lord spoke to me years ago, if I'm leading you, you will overcome.
Always.
I mean, a lot of times when we don't triumph or we don't overcome, let's be honest, we weren't following the triumphant one. Because the triumphant one, there ain't nothing the enemy's done that he can't whoop or hasn't whooped already. Amen? So we've got to understand that. If I'm not getting the victory, then I have to look at, am I following the victor? Amen? Okay. And manifest. Let's say manifest. Now everybody look at me. This is where it gets personal. This is where you're involved in it. Because we know Jesus has already defeated our enemy. He did it on the cross of Calvary, did he not? The enemy's already defeated foe. In fact, in that end time, they will look at him and go, is he the one that made the nations tremble? This little worm, this little wimp, right? Seriously. The defeat has already happened. But what we've got to understand is God wants to manifest through us, what does it say? The sweet aroma of the knowledge of him. In, is the scripture up there? In where? Every place. Say it again. In every place. Do it again. In every place. Does that count where you go to school? Where you work? Where you live? It counts every place. Even when you're out and about. In every place, he wants to manifest the sweet aroma of Christ. Amen? For we are, say we are, a fragrance of Christ. Amen? To God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one an aroma from death to death, to another the aroma from life to life. Now think about this. When his kingdom is manifested, when the kingdom comes, what happens? Think about it. What happens when the kingdom comes? His will is done. And what he has already defeated. When somebody has a demon cast out, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Right? When someone gets healed or delivered or set free, the kingdom has come. The authority and the dominion of God has come into play there. Whether it be physical, spiritually, emotionally, financially, the kingdom has come. The supply of God has come, right? I shall supply all of thy needs according to your riches in glory, my Lord. Amen? And so when God breaks through, the kingdom has come. Can I tell you, look at it this way. His triumph has been manifest through you and me. Amen? Y'all with me? I'm going somewhere here. I promise. Whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, whether it be deliverance, whatever the miracle is, God's kingdom has come in upon darkness. And darkness's domain has been broken free from that person or that situation. Amen? And so God gets glorified. And there is a fragrance released. And it is the knowledge of him who did it. I mean, that's the difference, isn't it? I'll be honest with you. I love it when people come out of a meeting or whatever, and they're not even talking about the man of God. They're talking about Jesus. What Jesus did. When Jimmy came in talking to me yesterday when she was picking her kids up, and Bill was sharing with me this morning, nobody's really even talking about anybody but what God did, right? Because the aroma, what we got to be careful of, sometimes an aroma gets released, let's be honest, and it's man. It's the glory of man, right? And what will happen is, even when the minister is intent on being humble and not getting all the attention, we people are really bad. We always want to have a king. You know, we always want to lift somebody up. And I'm telling you, that's a dangerous spot, isn't it? God wants to do something so much powerful that it's only His fragrance. Not Rick's cologne in the room. Amen? Or sweat. But Jesus' fragrance is in the room, right? Hallelujah! Are y'all getting this? We're to release His fragrance in any and every place. There's an old Beatles song. Here, there, and everywhere. Amen? Here, there, and everywhere. Say it. Here, there, and everywhere. I'm not going to sing you the song. I just want you to remember the phrase. Because that's what God wants to do with your life. And He wants to manifest it through you and through me. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to be faithful. I don't know about you. I want to be faithful. Now, I looked it up in the New King James. And let me just show what it says. It says, through us, He diffuses His fragrance. That's a big deal now. It's become very popular. As you know, we have these essential oil diffusers, right? Yeah. I'm an anti-fragrance guy, so not Jesus' fragrance, the other kind. Susan said, I would just love to be able to burn a nice candle sometimes. She didn't say it quite that mean, but maybe meaner, I don't know. But I'm not real good with fragrances. I even do fragrance-free everything. But anyway, but how many of you know God wants you to be a diffuser? Yes. Now what does that do? That device, you put the oils in it, and it diffuses it into the atmosphere, right? The atmosphere has been changed by that essential oil of fragrance that is released, and it fills the atmosphere. And God's looking at all of us this morning and say, you are my diffusers. You will release my fragrance in every place. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Now, how many of you know, somebody help me out. What's one you like to have in your home? Lavender, maybe? Or lavender? Okay. How many of you know, you don't walk in and go, I just love your diffuser. Do you? Your diffuser is awesome. No, you go, I love the smell of lavender. Are y'all getting where we're going? See, we've had enough of pumping up and talking about our vessels. Oh, what a vessel that man is. Right? But see, it's the aroma that it's released. That we should be going, oh, more, Lord. Amen? That'll make even Rick Bennett want some more. Hallelujah. To pour out into every place. I'm not trying to trivialize what the scripture said, but does that help you a little bit? Sometimes a little example just kind of helps you understand what God wants to do. We're to release the fragrance of life. Now, how many of you have found this out? Just as the scripture said, sometimes the fragrance of Jesus is life to some, to others it's death. They don't like the smell. They don't want the smell. Because see, the smell challenges you. Now, what do you do with what you just saw? With what you just experienced, with what you're feeling. You got to do something with that. And if you're not wanting to be repentant, and you're not wanting to get out of your old stinky life, you don't want to move into the aroma of the Jesus life. Right? And so to them, it's death. But see, here's the thing. We need to be equal opportunity diffusers. It's not for me to decide. I just need to release the fragrance of Jesus. Amen? And the diffuser doesn't get offended if somebody walks in and goes, oh, I hate lavender. The diffuser doesn't go, well, you know, here, I'll give you something else to smell. You know, the diffuser doesn't do that. We're just going to keep releasing the fragrance of you. All right, come on. All right. No more rabbit trails. We'll move on. Hallelujah. What? See, I don't even know what that is. Yeah. Please don't buy me potpourri for Christmas. Thank you. All right. Don't waste your money. Give it to Marvin. Give it to Rick. They love that stuff. How many of you know, if you've been around a fragrance for a long while, you don't notice it?
That's right. That's the truth.
But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean Jesus isn't with you.
Yeah, come on.
I used to smoke. And I know, horrifying. Melanie was Pentecostal and I smoked. So, you know. I used to smoke, and how many of you know, when you smoke, you don't notice smoke? Your clothes reek, your hair reeks. And nowadays, it's much different than it was growing up. I mean, people smoked in restaurants, on planes. I mean, you were always around cigarette smoke. But nowadays, it's a lot more noticeable. You know, somebody could be outside, and I could just walk by where they were standing, and I could smell it. And I kind of go, oh, that's cigarettes. You know, how did I ever do that? But can I tell you, it doesn't mean his fragrance isn't on you. It doesn't mean, but I want to be more sensitive to it, even, because you got to get used to it. I many times, I prayed with people, and prayer ministry to people, or witnessing to someone, or praying for them, or whatever, and they've been impacted by the aroma of Jesus. Maybe they're crying. Maybe they sense love or peace, or their body starts to get healed. A lot of people lately, when I've been praying for them, they talk about feeling warmth wherever my hand was, that kind of thing. And I'm like, it's just because I'm so hot. No, but it's just that God wants everybody. God, but you diffuse it. But a lot of times, I wasn't. How many of you have ever done this? You pray for somebody, you didn't sense anything abnormal or supernatural, but they did. And what night were we in the tent that I preached and y'all came over and helped?
Wednesday
night. There were certain people, I mean, the minute you got in front of them, they just, boom, they were out. You know, the aroma was overwhelming. And I hope it was Jesus and not, but what I'm saying is there was something being diffused. And at the time, when I've seen that happen the most, a lot of times I feel almost disconnected from it. But you know what I love about it? When that happens, they don't go. When it's genuine, when it's a genuine fragrance of Jesus, they don't go away glorifying, boy, that Rick did it. No, they talk about what God did. Oh, the love of God that came over me. Oh, that word was what I needed. They're not, how many want that? I really want that. I've heard a prophetic word from about the time we got the team together to move out of here. There's a prophetic word that there would be a nameless, faceless, nameless generation. Who would not receive any of the glory, but they would be the army of God that would go forth and release Jesus to a generation. Amen. Man would no longer be glorified. The diffuser is not going to be glorified. But what he diffuses will bring glory to Jesus. Amen. Are y'all receiving this today? Oh, glory to God. So I encourage you today with this. Be determined to live under the blessing. Amen. And to bloom wherever you are. Amen. Please smile. It's okay. You can bloom. Don't call it a lousy job. Some of you need to be praying in the spirit and blessing that company before you ever pull in the parking lot. Amen? Watch what happens. Because you're releasing something. And it'll change the atmosphere in there. Amen? It'll happen, man. It will. Hallelujah. I just called y'all man. But anyway. Even if you feel like you're in exile, or you feel like you're in a sojourning season, and most of us, that's part of walking this life. Determine in your heart you're going to be a blessing and bear fruit there. Amen? Take some time in John 15. Write that down. John 15. The whole chapter. That's the chapter where Jesus reveals something. My Father is a vine dresser. And I am the vine and you and me are branches. You take a branch from the vine and it may look alive for a while. But the longer it stays disconnected from Jesus, it'll eventually die, and you look at it a few days later, and it's not green anymore, right? Because the life source is not there. And Jesus said in that teaching, he said, to abide in my word. And you abide in God, and you abide in his presence. And I mean, whatever you hang around, you're going to smell like. Amen? And as you abide in God, you're going to, because he said this, apart from me, you can do nothing. How many of you found that out? You can learn kingdom principles and truths and quote them accurately. Come on, I've done it. Man, I've preached a good word. But it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen? It's the anointing that sets people free. Hallelujah. Anybody want to walk in that? You're going to smell like who you hang around. I don't want to turn to this story, but I want to close with this story. Most of us know, oh boy, iPad, be healed, be delivered of your affliction. I just don't want to forget what I wanted to tell you as we close before we pray today. Okay. All right. In the book of Acts, y'all remember the story of the lame beggar at the gate beautiful, right? You know, they go buy silver and gold, I buy none. But what I have, get this, what I have. Amen? What I have, I'm going to diffuse to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, right? We all know the story. Well, Peter and John were arrested after this event. Anybody want to be that anointed? And it says that when the officials observed the confidence of Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. That's good. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being educated or trained. But I've seen a lot of educated and trained seminary people have no anointing. Amen? And he said, they understood and they were amazed. And they began to recognize them, get this, as having been with Jesus. Everybody say fragrance. How many of you like to be recognized as having been with Jesus?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Having been with Jesus. And get this. And then seeing the man that had been healed standing with them. How many know that's the triumph of Jesus?
Yeah,
right. Amen. Get it. The fragrance and the triumph are right there in that verse. And they had nothing to say in reply. Wow. Wow. I mean, when Jesus triumphs and manifests through us, and when the aroma gets released, what can you say? Even if you don't like the smell, you'll just run. You'll be either repulsed by it or drawn to it, one or the other. Amen? Oh, Lord, don't we need more of that in all of our churches? Amen, come on. We need more of this. And Jesus says very clearly, apart, but if you understand the abide in me part, I believe that's the secret. I want to encourage you this week. Read John 15. Take time with it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you daily. And meditate in that and just check your life and say, Lord, am I connected to the vine? Am I connected to the life source? Because I don't like what I smell. Do I like the fragrance that's coming out of me? Amen? And I don't say that in any condemnation. This is for me too. I was dwelling on it this week. Because I'll be honest with you. For the first few days, a lot of people that have traveled and ministered with me are probably thinking, what's wrong with Rick? But it was just that I was just totally distracted by the wind and the waves. I really was. And I just had to kind of get along with God a few mornings and just deal with some things that I was struggling with in my heart about what's going on in my family. I'm not talking about my marriage. I'm talking about my situation with my brother dying. And I just feel like the Lord, if we will be faithful, here's the thing. I so believe in doing outreach and doing missions and going. The word says go. But I also believe part of our going is where we go in everyday life. Does that make sense? If we can't live it there, it's really hard to go even temporarily to there and be fruitful, right? Because, I mean, you can't, I know I've said this way too many times probably, but you can't export what you have not imported. You freely receive that you may freely give. And so I want to ask you and challenge you in that in your own life, because I believe as each one of us begin to be more fruitful in the various theirs that we are abiding in now, some of you are going to find release to your next sweet spot. Amen. And also, though, it's going to impact how we do other things, because I love and we will always be committed to the doors that are open to us among the Apache and the Navajo Nation. But I want to be faithful here, too. And releasing the fragrance in this metropolitan area. Amen? Amen. And so that means we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice and do some things. Amen? Even out of our comfort zone. Because I do believe there are specific things God ordains for us to do as a people and as a team to go into the community or whatever. Amen? But it's the balance of living it in our daily life. And then when we do it, we're doing it from strength and from victory and triumph. Does that make sense? I just believe that I believe the house of God is the gate of heaven. I believe the house of God should be a place of miracles and healings and signs and wonders. But I also believe and know that not everybody that needs one is going to come in here. It could be a little overwhelming, right? There's too many diffusers in there. They're releasing a lot of stuff. But there's something about us being able to do that. So can I pray a prayer over you for that? Can I bless you today? Would you just lift your countenance to heaven? And I don't want anybody in this room to feel condemnation. What I shared today was not to make any of us feel bad. If anything, it's just to challenge us if we've settled. Let me pray over you right now. Lord, I pray today, if there's been indifference in our heart toward our there, whatever it may be, Lord, for each of us, if we've been indifferent, certainly, Lord, if we've been guilty of cursing a certain place, we ask you to forgive us. But not only forgive us, but we cancel out all the negative things we've said in the name of Jesus. And we plead your blood over that. And Lord God, we want to release life. We want to release your love and anointing. even into our workplace, even into our neighborhood, even into our community, Lord. Help us to be quick to hear and slow to speak so that we can release the words you are putting upon our heart into every situation, Lord. Lord, I pray for some of you today as I'm praying for my trip this week that I'm going to be able to release and diffuse life among my family and all of my brother's friends, many of them who do not know Jesus. And I'm praying for that. Will y'all agree with me for that? There'll be a great diffusing of life and the fragrance of Jesus in every place. And Lord, I pray that for all of these here today, because I believe, Lord, everybody in this room sincerely wants to be your witness. They want to be able to testify of you faithfully. And Lord, I ask you also to challenge us that there's times you're going to move us out of our comfort zone. You're going to challenge us to reach out into the city, to reach out into the community, to reach out to the brokenhearted and the downtrodden, and to reach out, not just go away to do it, but to do it even here. And Lord, I pray for more and more that our hearts would be open. Because Lord, we agree together as Freedom Gate, it's always been our vision that this would be a church for all nations, all ethnicities, all generations, young and old. Hallelujah. And Lord, we agree for that and believe for that now. Now would you lift your hands and pray this with me as just a decree over your heart. Lord Jesus, I am your vessel. I am your diffuser. Help me, Lord, to be faithful, to release your fragrance, to walk in your triumph in every place and in every area of my life. I choose to bless and be a blessing in every situation. For I am blessed with the blessing of Abraham. And I am so grateful. I am so thankful, Lord, for your goodness. For you are a good God. And you are greatly to be praised. I bless you today that the Lord would bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and grant you shalom as you go in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Be it unto me. Be it unto me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all receive that? Amen. Hallelujah. A place called there. God wants to redeem it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Would you turn around this morning? As you get ready to make your way out, would you just turn around, maybe in groups of twos or threes, and just release blessing to one another and the love of God. If there's a need in the little prayer circle you're gathering together with, if there's a need, would you just express that to your brothers and sisters and pray for one another for God's glory to be released in your life.